name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Can you imagine holding God in your arms? The sinful holding the sinless. One in desperate need of salvation holding the giver of salvation. The fact that a man stood in the temple with God in his arms says infinitely more about God than it does about the man. For Simeon, pious and devout as he was, would not have even known the day or the hour when he should go to the temple if God had not first told him. He would not have known that the family stood before him was the Holy Family. He would not have known that the baby in his arms was God, the consolation of Israel, the light to lighten the Gentiles. For human eyes cannot see such hidden glory without God. This is an incredibly beautiful picture of the fatherly will toward us. And the fatherly will has a history. For when Moses built the tabernacle in the wilderness, a cloud covered it, and the glory of the Lord filled the place. When King Solomon built the first temple in Jerusalem, a cloud filled the temple, and the glory of the Lord filled the house. God was present in the tabernacle and the first temple, and he showed his presence by the sign of a bright and beautiful cloud. And he promised that a second house would be even greater, and now it becomes clear what he meant. For now the Messiah himself comes bodily, sharing the flesh and the blood of his children into the temple in a way far superior to the sign of a cloud. Why was Christ presented in the temple? Well, as with his circumcision and his holy baptism, he did it not for his own sake, but for ours. As the true firstborn, he presented himself in our stead for eternal service. And that is why the ransom of 5 shekels of silver was not paid. For he was to remain in the Lord's service and give his life as a ransom for many. And as the true firstborn, he was the heir of all things, and he did not keep the inheritance for himself, but made us partakers in the magnificent inheritance. Johann Gerhard wrote this collect that states what God did here and prays what our response should be. He writes, O Christ, thou firstborn of God and Mary, I surrender fully to thy service and possession, who has consecrated thyself for me to thy heavenly Father, and has made me a king and a priest. Let my poor prayer, the offering of my lips, be pleasing to thee, and make me a partaker of thy rich inheritance as thy poor brother. This is what Christ did here. As today's text also says, he had to be made like his brethren in every respect, so that he might become a merciful and faithful high priest in the service of God, to make expiation for the sins of the people. This was the Word made flesh, going uncomplaining forth in perfect obedience for the likes of you and me, the sinless for the sinful. One of the finest chorales of the Incarnation says it in this profound way. See, my soul, your Savior chooses poverty and weakness too. In such love he comes to you. Neither crib nor cross, refusing all he suffers for your good, to redeem you by his blood. Joy, oh joy, beyond all gladness, Christ has done away with sadness, hence all sorrow and repining, for the Son of Grace is shining. And here stands Simeon, beholding and holding all of this. No wonder the glorious Nunc Dimittis flowed from his lips. How could he help but sing of peace and joy as he was tasting true peace and true joy that can only come from the presence of Christ? For Simeon, this was heaven on earth. For all the heirs of the true firstborn, the presence of Christ is heaven on earth. And it is so fitting that in the divine service we pray, cast me not away from thy presence. And we cadence often with the words, grant us thy peace. And after receiving the real presence, we too sing of departing in peace. How can we help but live in serene confidence, without fear, trusting and clinging to the one who came down, down, so far down for us? In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen.